Hello and welcome to the Saxo Market Call. It is Thursday, 7th of January, 2021, and I think it's safe to say that the 6th of January, 2021, will go down as a remarkable day, a watershed moment in U.S. history, as a mob of Trump supporters stormed the Capitol and occupied Capitol Hill and the chambers of Congress. Of course, we all seen these scenes. I don't need to editorialize on what happened here as a remarkable event, and I guess we should just keep our thoughts on what this means for markets. But I can't help to wonder, this is something that's going to echo through the years and be very interesting to see how it is digested in coming days, weeks, and under the new administration, if there this political dysfunction and inability to agree on basic facts like election outcomes and things like that, if that continues, and what it'll mean for American society and also for geopolitics, if the US is of course the agenda risks sort of being ripped 100% back to a domestic one when you see events like this unfolding. So regardless, that's my very limited editorializing on the subject. The more interesting thing for markets, apparently, which were largely non-reactive to this, was the stimulus check news, the fact that the Georgia elections are now quite clearly going to both go to Democratic hands, which gives them the slim majority in Congress and allows, and they're signaling already that they'd like to do these $2,000 stimulus checks. And you can see the reaction pattern difference here on slide two in today's slide deck, where the NASDAQ is still a little bit iffy, a bit back and forth, the mid-range of the last week or so, whereas the Russell just ripped and powered significantly higher. Is this only the stimulus checks, Peter, do you think, or is there also a little bit of this value versus momentum on the yield move, which we'll talk about in a moment in the US?
I don't think that is too much a value move in the Russell 2000, in the sense that the Russell 2000 is already an extremely pricey index in terms of valuation. If you look at the top 10 stocks, Penn Central, etc., these stocks, gaming stocks, I mean, they are ex exceptionally expensive. So I don't think it's a value trade. I think it's the $2,000 stimulus checks that the market is now banging on. You're seeing the move in the U.S. interest rates continue high. I think we're at 106% now in the 10-year, and you're seeing the reaction function pretty crystal clear in Asia, and that's, I think, is your angle in Russell 2000. It's the it is what it means for local domestically oriented companies in the U.S. that have their 100% revenue in the States, so they're benefiting. But then also you're seeing Chinese equity futures up 2.5%. I have a chart on slide four today. I mean, you can just see it. It's just ripping higher. So people are betting hard that all this stimulus in the Europe and specifically in the US, it flows to China first because it's the world's factory. So that's benefiting the Chinese economy a lot. And then you also saw the numbers this morning with the German manufacturing orders or factory orders. They were beating expectations by 4 percentage points. I think we're already now at a 7%, at a level that is 7% higher than November last year, because China cannot do all their manufacturing and industrial capacity without German equipment. So they also buying stuff from Germany. So you have a very fine, small circle there in the global economy. So I think that is really what's driving things. But we need to zoom in, and I know you have a lot of thoughts about this, John, but we need to zoom in on this interest rate move because that's the most important trigger point for equities.
Yeah, and it's does represent a financial conditions tightening. All of the things being equal, when the U.S. yield curve steepens and those long yields come up. And on slide three, I have that 30-year. Talked about it before that prior to the COVID-19 pandemic, the actual range low was somewhat south of 2% back in 2019. Although I think effectively we can call it a 2% the range low, and we're only 16 basis points from that on the 30-year, while we're like 40 plus basis points from the major 1.5% area on the 10-year. So you see how that long end has been more aggressive and reverting back to pre-COVID levels, and becomes a factor. And in the FOMC minutes last night, you saw largely a sense of optimism about how the economy is developing despite the pandemic. And let's remember that the FOMC meeting was before the $900 billion stimulus deal, certainly before this latest Senate runoff news and stimulus check news that we're seeing just as of yesterday. And you're seeing little corners of, in the minutes, only as one mention of tapering, but there's been another Fed official out talking about tapering. This is very odd stuff, right? Is the Fed concerned about a policy mistake, or are they just buying a little insurance? if we do get these vaccine rolled out, I'm open to whatever happens. Peter, I know you're quite clearly optimistic on that front, and we get this pent up savings and cash just splashing and ripping through the economy. I think we'd have an interesting setup for a potential policy mistake. And I've even seen some a clever guy I know had tipped to you, Mark, has seen signs of some speculation in Fed moving more aggressively in 2023. If you look at those euro dollar futures and the some of the spreads, so a 2022 versus a 2023, starting to a market that kind of had gone dead for a while, starting to speculate on the Fed moving. So we're getting so far into the future on what we're projecting here. But yes, this yield move becomes a clear and present danger. Not necessarily at these levels, but it's the trend, it's the speed of the trend, it's how quick it's moving. And Ola, on your front on commodities, certainly gold was reactive to yields yesterday and correcting.
Absolutely, John. We did see quite a significant tumble there as this yield move just continued higher, and it does obviously highlight the risk that comes from rising yields. But we also have to as you talk about potential the overstimulus and so on leading to increased focus on the reflation trade, and I think that the yields are rising for a reason, and that is due to expectations for what a Biden presidency can achieve in terms of adding additional stimulus and spending, and with that the risk of inflation is starting to come more visible than it is now. And I think if these are the drivers, then the market just is in a readjustment phase here where it needs to get used to potentially higher yields. I put in a slide there, slide 7, just highlighting gold's move this week. We almost touched 1965, which is the November high, so that's clearly resistance now. Support is equally clear down around that 1900 level, so that is really the two key levels. But I think in the short term, the market may just be a bit challenged, and as you both mentioned, there's no just really the key thing to watch right now are those yield developments.
Ole, it's talking about commodities. It's interesting you're talking about that things are maybe pausing a little bit in the actual commodity prices. But this commodity sector basket in equities that we flagged on Monday, and which will be center focused on a lot of what we sort of anticipate for this year, the physical economy. Just checked our portfolio basket here. 40 stocks, remind you, across agriculture, energy, chemical companies, and metals and mining. It was actually up 2.7% yesterday.
Yeah, it's
so you're seeing this reflation trade at least very clearly in the commodity sector in equities, while maybe the actual underlying prices on the commodities are maybe taking a pause. But this is just something really to have on the radar, I think, for 21. But we'll talk more about that in our outlook, so in the weeks to come, for sure.
And I think it also highlights the significant move we had during the past couple of months in commodities. On slide 8, I just put in the RSI monitor just to give an idea about that. We're starting to turn quite overbought, especially the grain sector, but also energy and industrial metals. And you can see the phenomenal rally we had. I'm just using it as an example, an ETF that tracks the Bloomberg Commodity Index. And you can see we've come a long way during the past year, and especially during the last couple of quarters here, last quarter. So approaching some resistance there, but obviously if we are in a bull run, then RSI doesn't really mean much in the short term, at least. But just a heads up that there has been a significant rally in this whole sector now.
Yeah, and then in the FX space, I have to believe that it's this tremendous move, couple standard deviation move and a range break in U.S. yields that is putting a little bit of support under the dollar after it ran significantly lower. And you see that especially in dollar yen. So on slide 6, that's showing dollar yen rebounding quite sharply now after breaking 103, that new low, local low, and all the way to 102.60. We're now trading well above 103. And then on the right, I put a little chart there showing dollar yen versus long U.S. yields. Traditionally, and that correlation goes back a lot further than what I'm showing there. And you see that there's a lack of correlation since the pandemic and the reaction to that. That is this whole macro backdrop and setup and this belief that U.S. negative real rates or U.S. real rates have gone far more negative, whereas because of Japan's ongoing semi-deflation, you have actually somewhat positive, slightly positive real rates in Japan. And that, so that doesn't mean per se that higher rates are necessarily dollar supportive if inflation comes roaring back even worse. But I still believe from a day-to-day perspective, when you're seeing a move like yesterday, that this does get the market's attention and is dollar supportive when the move is especially hot. So a very interesting test of that theme and of the dollar bear case we're seeing at the moment as dollar is trying to push back here. We're still far away from really threatening any levels of note. Some tactical, I would argue, risk here technically, and we're breaking it a little bit as we're speaking here, the 123 level, but I mean, it just means tactically that it could test a figure lower. So this is nothing existential yet for dollar bears. That's far, far lower, 120, et cetera. And I think we'd have to see a comprehensive risk off disaster across markets to be talking about those levels. In FX. What else do we have to talk about, guys? You have some notes on some specific Chinese news, this back and forth, Peter, on the whether New York Stock Exchange is going to ban a couple, is the banks, I believe, right? And then there's some concerns about the bigger Chinese giants as well.
We have had the back and forth with the big telcos, the telecommunication companies out of China, with their listings in the US. I don't want to dwell much on that, because the new news here was that yesterday sources from Reuters have indications that the Chinese ban on ADR, so the American depository receipts in trading in the US exchanges, on US exchanges, could extend to Tencent and Alibaba. And as I show on slide 5 with a small insert, those two are the biggest ADRs in the US. And then you have the big bank, the Industrial and Commercial Bank of China, as number 3, and then Ping An Insurance is number 4, and then you have Pinduoduo, which is that e-commerce company, is as number 5. So I'm highlighting this because it seems like the you know, there's a big clamp down on Chinese stocks. And I don't even think we talked about it yesterday, John, but actually also Alibaba indicating that it wants to raise $5 billion in a bond series, as we talked about internally, at least. Doesn't really make sense for a company that generates almost $30 billion in free cash flow and a company that has almost zero revenue and asset and liability exposure in dollars. So why would this company raise $5 million? It doesn't make any sense. And we can all have our speculations of why that's happening. All I want to point out with this also, because Trump now says that he wants to ban 8 Chinese payment apps. So from Alipay and the payment app inside the WeChat, and he's also clamping down on a camera scanner app in China, and it just goes to this overall idea we've been talking so much about. I mean, the confrontation between China and US is based on values, and it will continue, and I think we'll see a this, you know, disentanglement of their capital markets over time. So it's for me, the reason why I'm bringing this up is that I know we have clients at Saxo that have exposures to Chinese ADRs. I also know that we have that also a lot of investors outside that might be listening to this podcast. I just want to emphasize that unless you cannot get the exposure for the same company with a listing in Hong Kong, then fine. But please try to consider not owning Chinese ADRs from just a simple risk management fact, because if all these companies are being forced to delist, I mean, you could end up in a situation you didn't want to. So think about it. I still think that you should have Chinese exposure. So but try to make it through mainland shares and Hong Kong shares. That's my main point here, because I think over the next year this will just get worse and worse.
Okay. And in case somebody fact checks us or fact corrects us, it's $8 billion even that they're trying to issue with this these bonds, not even just 5, so even more, 60% more. That's a big chunk of change for a company that supposedly shouldn't need the money. Okay. Let's go to the calendar for today. A couple of interesting bits and pieces. Eurozone December CPI. Inflationary pressure is going to be slower to trickle into the Eurozone because of far less cash being jammed into consumers' pockets by willy-nilly stimulus, but as well with the rising currency, et cetera. So I wouldn't be expecting fireworks there. We have the latest weekly jobless claims out of the U.S. And the December ISM Services Index it just seems we continue to you know, surprise on the positive side, but it seems like you would have some risk of a downside surprise there, given the COVID numbers and sort of self-isolation and partial renewed limitations on activity across the U.S. from that COVID resurgence. And then we have the Friday payrolls. Do note that the ADP employment change was at a negative number. The market just completely ignoring that. Could we be in for a Friday surprise there and maybe a little bit of a shift in the narrative? A little bit doubtful. The market has been very reluctant to react to economic news, trying to look at post-vaccine, you know, knowing that maybe we've got some near-term slowdowns before we potentially blast out of the gates into Q2 and Q3 of this year. For now, let's you know, stay tuned to the headlines, see what's going on, and see where we are when January 20th rolls around and President-elect Biden becomes the next U.S. president. For now, we'll call it a day, and we'll be back tomorrow with the Saxo Market Call. Thanks for joining.